This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a warm welcome to our ACA community all around the globe to this, our 6th Annual World Convention, and the second fully online one. You've probably heard that welcome a few times, but it's still something that impresses me. While this pandemic continues to be a challenging time for many of us, and my heart specifically goes out to India at the moment and those who are on this panel now, because we know they're really having a hard time. But we do see how the events like this bring us together for our ACA recovery, and for that we are very grateful. This is the largest adult child meeting in the world, connecting our ACA members, our family of the heart all around the planet, to heal together as one united, unified fellowship. This convention is being hosted by the ACA World Service Organization, and our theme this year is Global Recovery. This is one of the last few of the 27 workshops being run around the globe, around the clock. So my name is Marion. I'm an adult child, currently the Vice Chair of the Global Members Committee, and I'm calling in from Johannesburg, South Africa. This session is Building and Strengthening Fellowships Around the World, Israel, India, and South Africa 1 year later. Can I have the next page? Thank you. Before we go into this, I just want to say three of our panelists, myself, Dahlia, and Sunil, shared this time last year. And it kind of describes what I think has happened for us, which is that now we have six of us, plus myself as moderator. So there's an indication of what's to come. Anonymity. Please be sure to rename yourself in the participant screen to show only your first name, last name, initial, and country. Please remember our spiritual principle of anonymity, as this meeting and workshop is being broadcast around the world and will also be recorded on audio and distributed later. We therefore ask that you do not record any audio, video, or pictures of the AWC. We also ask that we do not share the link to this conference. Each member should request their own access so that they can acknowledge our commitment to trying to protect the personal anonymity of AWC attendees. I would like Corin to read meeting safety guidelines, please. Sorry, can you scroll it? Yeah, there we go. A little bit higher. Thank you. Corin, over to you.
Please. Meeting safety. Thanks, Marion. Meeting safety. During the meeting, only the active speakers will be unmuted. Microphone and chat will generally be disabled for all viewers. The chat will only be open for communicating with the tech host. This is to ensure a safe listening experience for all. During the Q&A time, to request to speak, please use the raise hand feature in the reaction button at that time. You will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. The chat feature will also be open for viewers to post questions or otherwise interact at that stage. Please remember that what you hear at this meeting should remain at the meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all who share with us today. And we do not crosstalk during the interaction time. Crosstalk means interrupting, referring to, or giving advice regarding what another person has shared during the meeting. However, in a panel such as this, viewers are muted until the interaction time and they have been recognized by the host, so cannot interrupt, and comments and feedback are welcome at this time. We also don't distract from the person sharing. Distracting means doing anything other than paying full attention to the person speaking in an online meeting. This also includes background activity, which can happen if your video is switched on and there is activity going on around you. Please be aware of this if you are leaving your screen for any reason, such as a personal needs break, and switch off your video. Thank you for letting me serve.
We meet to share the experience we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. That experience infected us then, and it affects us today. By practicing the 12 steps, by focusing on the solution, and by accepting a higher power of our own understanding, we find freedom from the effects of alcoholism and other family dysfunction. We identify with the problem and learn to live in the solution one day at a time. To start us off, I have asked Dahlia to say the ACA Serenity Prayer in her home language, Hebrew. Dahlia, would you?
Thank you, Dahlia B., adult child from Israel. Serenity Prayer in Hebrew. Elohim, pen bi to shelva, lekabel et ha'anishim she'neni yichola lishanot, ba'omets lishanot, et ha'adam ha'echad she'ni ken yichola, ba'chokhma ladat she'achat hazot yini. Thank you.
Thank you, Dahlia. Now, can we all unmute, please? Well, at least those of us who can. And let's, if you can go to the next slide, we can all say the prayer together. Can we just scroll to the next slide, please? All right. In whatever language calls your heart.
Serenity to accept, change, courage to change when I can.
Thank you. Can we scroll to the next, please? Okay. I have asked Pritha to please read the laundry list for us. We're going to read that this time. Sorry, you'll need to scroll a little bit more so that she can see the bottom, please. There we go. Pritha, over to you, please.
Good evening. Am I audible?
You are.
Okay. The laundry list, 14 characteristics of an adult child. These are characteristics we seem to have in common due to being brought up in an alcoholic household. We became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. We became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. Third, we are frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. Fourth, we either became alcoholics, marry them, or both, or find another compulsive personality, such as a workaholic, to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. Fifth, we live life from the viewpoint of victims and are attracted by their weakness in our love and our friendship relationships. Sixth, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it is easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults, etc. Seventh, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. Eighth, we became addicted to excitement. Ninth, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. 10th, we've stuffed our feelings from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much, denial. 11th, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. 12th, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we receive from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. 13, alcoholism is a family disease, and we became para-alcoholics and took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pooja. Can we have the next slide, please? I've asked Kanelwe to please read the solution. Over to you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ginelwe, an adult child from South Africa, and I'm honored to be reading the solution today. The solution is to become your own loving parent, as ACCA becomes a safe place for you. You will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who is imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to accept and love yourself. The healing begins when you risk moving out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden of unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power, whom some of us choose to call God. Although we had alcoholic or dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps, we use the meetings, we use the telephone. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make healthful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you'll see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all our relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents.
Thank you so much, Kanelwe. May we have the next slide? There we go. Kanika, can I call on you, please, to read the 12 steps for us?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kanika. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism or other family dysfunction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Second, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Third, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Fourth, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Fifth, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Sixth, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seventh, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eighth, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Ninth, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Tenth, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11th, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12th, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others who will suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Kanika. And Dahlia, would you be kind enough to read the traditions?
Yes, thank you, Dalia, adult child from Israel, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Four, each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all other 12 steps programs. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. Six, an ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, adult children of alcoholics should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, ACA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, adult children of alcoholics has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the ACA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, films, and other public media. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Dalia. You may have related to our readings, even if there was no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home. This is common because dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction. We welcome you. In the beginning, many of us could not recognize or accept that some of our current attitudes or behaviors result from some experience related to alcoholism or dysfunction in our childhood. We behave as adult children, which means we bring self-doubt and fear learned in childhood to our adult interactions. By attending meetings regularly and actively working the ACA program, we come to know and begin to act as our true selves. What you hear at this meeting should remain at a meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all of us who share. Thank you. Next slide, please. Okay, as I've already said, my name is Marion. I'm a grateful adult child from Johannesburg, South Africa, and one of the vice chairs within the Global Members Committee. I still have to change it from subcommittee to committee. Right, the Global Members Committee provides support to ACA fellowships outside of the USA, Canada, and Europe in their efforts to be self-supporting as they grow, facilitating universal inclusiveness, accessibility, and affordability of literature and ACA recovery resources as part of Tradition 5. We honor Tradition 4 for all countries we support. Each group is autonomous. We partner with various committees in WSO and with our fellowships around the world to unify our ACA recovery resources. We are pleased as the Global Committee to be sponsoring 6 workshops in this 2021 AWC. It's my honor and pleasure to, I think we can stop the screen share now, I'm good. Thank you. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce this Global AWC workshop, where our panel of speakers will give an update on the progress of each of the 3 countries, South Africa, India, and Israel, since we shared at the first fully online AWC last year. So as you've already heard by the, because they've been doing the readings, I'm joined by Corin and Kanelwe in South Africa, Sunil, Pooja and Kanika in India, and Dalia in Israel. I'm going to start by sharing a little bit about my own personal recovery story and then about my experiences in service and the progress I've experienced in the past year, both for myself and within the fellowship in South Africa and also at the global members committee level. And then I will call on the other six speakers in the three countries to speak on how ACA has evolved in their country since the last AWC, their progress and their challenges, as well as their hopes for the future. They will each share on their personal recovery and their involvement in service. And then the last portion of this, we're going to spend some time taking questions and comments for the remainder of the session. So, hi there. My name is Marion, as I've said enough times already. I am a very grateful recovering adult child and a very grateful member of this ACA fellowship here in Johannesburg, South Africa. My personal ACA story started about 17 years ago when I was invited to a meeting of a sister fellowship by a friend and discovered that what was causing my current life challenges was the consequences of growing up in an emotionally toxic family. And I realized I had absolutely no frame of reference for healthy behavior. The models I got were, yeah. However, I never felt comfortable with alcohol or the alcoholic being identified as the problem, as my mom only became an alcoholic when I was an adult. So I always felt like a bit of a fraud at those meetings. It was only when I was taken to an ACA meeting by a friend who I'd met here in South Africa, who was back in Canada. I went over to Canada to visit my dying father in 2013. And that's where I met the Big Red Book and the ACA Fellowship. I finally felt like I'd found what I'd been looking for. I'd come home. And in fact, even now, I get emotional every single time I think about the impact that meeting had on me. Wow. But while AA is 75 years old in South Africa this year, and Alan, I'm not much younger, I discovered there was one very, very new ACA meeting in South Africa at that time. And it was in a city 1,400 kilometers, about 900 miles away. So being me, I decided this needed to change because I needed an ACA meeting. So I recruited a few others to help me start one. That was at the beginning of 2014, and the meeting started in my home. Fortunately, before the middle of 2014, that meeting had grown solid enough that we'd moved to a formal venue, and it's grown pretty steadily ever since. And a few years later, I helped start another meeting here in Johannesburg, as well as the second meeting in Cape Town, where the first one had started. Then, in order to get that 30% bulk literature that they were offering intergroups, I set up the South African Intergroup, which I chaired until a couple of months ago. And more recently still, I became involved with the ACA Global Subcommittee, as it was then, still motivated by trying to get ACA literature at an affordable price in this country. Then, through my fellowship connections in Global, and thank you, Sarah, if you're on the call, and well, hopefully you'll hear it in the recording, we got sponsorship for Zoom access from the New Jersey Intergroup until our local intergroup could afford our own account. So we were able to host the meetings online in response to our coronavirus lockdown, where everything got shut. And attendance at those online meetings grew as people from all over the country, for reference, this country is roughly about the size of Texas, found their way to meetings, especially after the first online AWC last year. It has been a personal joy for me to see more and more people here starting to discover ACA and begin their recovery journey. What this has also done, again, with the support of Global, was that just last week, Global, I keep having to remember we're now a full committee, has expanded here through various different recovery support tools that Global has facilitated. But I'll leave that to our current intergroup chair, Karen, to talk more about shortly. Going online has also helped us to build and strengthen our connection between the meetings in the different cities, which are all very far apart. And I was thrilled to hear in the previous session two other South Africans that I recognized from Cape Town by their voices, never met them face to face. But through this process, we strengthened our intergroup, which until then had really existed only in name and to get that literature discount. Now we have a real intergroup and it actually works. That strengthened intergroup and greater cohesion also enabled us to finally take that we wish WSO would, or we wish, you know, ideas that have been sculling around here for years and put them into formal proposals. And I'm proud to say that our intergroup presented five of the proposals that were on tabled at the ABC this year. And although only one of them got across the finish line, and I will leave that one to Kanelwe to talk about, we at least felt we had a way to start dialogue with WSO and get our small voice at the bottom of Africa heard. Our other desire was to find a way to get the ACA message to people from what we refer to here as previously disadvantaged communities in South Africa. And this is a truly adult child country. And I'm also feeling grateful that that process is now beginning. But again, I will leave that one to Kanelwe to speak more about. But for me, the greatest achievement so far, the one which I want to thank my fellows and servers within the Global Community Committee for helping us achieve, is to get the approval to print literature locally. We've started the cycle, which I know will change the face of recovery here in South Africa and probably the whole of Southern Africa, because recently I've had people reaching out from Zambia and several places in Kenya. And yeah, we can do something now to help, because the real challenge is the transport costs. I mean, yes, the literature is ridiculously expensive, but then the transport costs are more than double that. So through all of this, I have learned that service is a real tool in my ACA recovery kit. The service sponsorship I received from the chair of the Global Committee has been invaluable in helping me personally to better support my local meetings and intergroup. And through her example and mentoring, my takeaways have been the importance of adding to my knowledge of the steps and traditions by also learning and applying the contents of Chapter 10, the commitments to and the concepts of service to keep our meetings safe for myself and everybody else, to take an attitude of progress, not perfectionism, my addition, that service should not be at the expense of my recovery, but rather to enhance it, and to remember that I can ask for help, and that by doing that, I can encourage others to step up into service. Above all, my service in ACA has helped me stay focused on being part of the solution. I have genuinely experienced it at the meeting and intergroup level of us moving from hurting to healing to helping. And it's also connected me personally to a much expanded ACA family of the heart that I am joined by my fellows here who have become really dear to me as I've worked with them, and I feel privileged to work alongside them. My hope for the future is just that we can carry on expanding our ability to carry this message to all corners of this globe, in every language and to every community, because I agree with Sunil, everybody in this world needs this. And with that, I'm going to call on my next person in service. Thank you for that. I'd like to hand the baton over, please, to Karen, who is the current ACA Intergroup Chair for South Africa. Karen, take it away.
Am I only now unmuted?
We can hear you now.
Thank you. Thanks, Marion. Goeiemôre, goeiemiddag, goeienaand. That is, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening in Afrikaans, my second language. I'm Karen T, an adult child from Jeffreys Bay in South Africa. ACA found me in an indirect way and only just over a year ago. In fact, just before last year's AWC, I'd done therapy over the years and was actively working on my relationship with God, but still struggled. A friend of mine had been on her own path of self-discovery and had brought her to ACA. However, what she'd shared didn't resonate with me, as I had no alcohol issues in my childhood. We jumped through a few hoops to get her a big red book through friends of mine in the US who were coming out to visit. Once she got it and started reading, she would share with me what she was learning. When she read the problem in the laundry list to me, the literature started to resonate with me. Beginning of March 2020, She, together with our church leadership, started a meeting after church on Sundays, and I decided to join the group. We'd had two face-to-face meetings when we went into full lockdown. We struggled for a while, trying to figure out how to meet, meeting safety concerns, and meeting format. But eventually, with the help of Marion, the South African Intergroup Chair, whom my friend had reached out to, we got it all figured out. It became evident that we needed to get our meeting registered and listed if we were to be found by the adult child needing recovery in our area, especially in the lockdown situation. We registered our meeting with WSO on April 28, 2020. Our little group has ebbed and flowed in the last year, and we now run two regular weekly meetings. We heard about the AWC 2020 from Marion the day before the event, registered immediately, and attended almost the entire weekend. This was a life-changing experience for me. It turned on many lights for me. And my recovery took on a completely different rhythm. I've managed to complete my first round of the 12 steps and seen others start working their steps with fellow travelers, which is so encouraging to me in living my recovery. What I've seen and heard at the last AWC showed me the value of service in recovery. Shortly after last year's event, I contacted Marion to offer my assistance in getting a website set up and running for the South Africa Intergroup, which was received with great enthusiasm. However, once I was connected with the Intergroup, I soon realized that there were so many other needs, and the website has dropped in priority on the list of things we need to do. We had an amazing response to the AWC locally. Interest in the ACA program and attendance in our meetings more than doubled, and with that, the need for literature, workshops, and studies became a top priority. This is where I first got involved in practical service beyond my own meeting group. I created the flyer for our very first RSG weekend workshop, managed the communications, and administered the registrations. We ran two very successful RSG workshops in 2020 with the support of the global team that facilitates these events. It was through these events that I met Suvi, Lizzie, Adelina, Cheryl, David and Kayla, and this year I was able to join them in service and support of the India Intergroup and their very first RSG workshop with a slightly different weekend format to ours. Around the time of our initial RSG workshop, Marion was communicating with the Intergroup representatives and volunteers regarding a shipment of literature coming in from WSO. I couldn't believe the hoops we had to jump through to get the shipment through customs, how the costs just piled up with customs duties, VAT, bank fees on the payment to WSO, which in the end negated the intergroup discounts we'd received and made the books almost unaffordable for the average person. I became aware that Marion and Sue had started working on a proposal to the WSO board for the SA Intergroup to become a regional printing location. I was able to assist them in preparing affordability and costing comparisons to support our proposal to print locally. In April this year, we finally got that approval from the board. This is going to mean so much to us locally in carrying the message to adult children who still suffer across our country and bordering countries. At the beginning of 2021, our intergroup chair and treasurer resigned their positions as they are relocating to the UK. I was nominated by Marion as the chair, which was ratified at the business meeting in March this year. We have a lot of plans and dreams for our local fellowship, which we know we'll only realize through teamwork with our members and the Global Members Committee. We are so grateful for their support and guidance. Through these local experiences and involvement with the Global Members Committee, I have met fellow travelers, both locally and across the globe, that I would never have had the opportunity to meet. And this is what continues to enrich my recovery journey. Thank you for the opportunity to share. And I'll now hand over to Kanilwe to share her experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Hi, everyone. My name again is Kinebe, and I'm a very grateful adult child. I'm so, so honored to be sharing today on this platform. And I was so emotional just reading the solution earlier on, because I've seen that in just a very short space of time, how far I've come in living the ACCA solution in my life. It really is a miracle. So my name again is Kinelo, and I am in Johannesburg, South Africa, born and bred in Soweto. It's a township where people of my skin color were abandoned by society through the apartheid system. I have experienced childhood trauma in the home and on a larger scale outside the home through a society that could not accept me merely because of the color of my skin. I experienced a very low self-esteem, and basically what I describe as self-loathing. And I see that in a lot of people within my community, where it is just difficult to just love ourselves. I came into ACCA last year around this time during the level 5 lockdown during COVID. And I had been a part of a member of AA for a year. I just celebrated a year of sobriety in AA. And I've been working my 12 steps of AA thoroughly with a sponsor. But as much as I'd found some healing through those steps, and you know, I'd worked through some resentments and the guilt and some of the shame, there was still something missing. There was still a small hole in the soul within me, which I thought was just going to become bigger and bigger and just take over me. I was so scared of getting back into this dark hole of depression and anxiety. And I was praying for my higher power to take me to a higher level of spirituality and to a higher level of emotional sobriety. And my higher power answered through a friend of mine who showed me his copy of the Big Red Book. He directed me to the page where the laundry list was, and I found myself on the laundry list. I mean, as much as the steps in AA had given me a relationship with myself and a relationship with my higher power, I was still very scared of people and authority figures. Setting boundaries for me was throat constricting, a huge anxiety. And I didn't understand what was wrong with me. I thought that maybe I was not working hard enough to heal. So when I found myself on the laundry list, it was a huge relief to know that there's more that I can do in order to heal, in order to have normal relationships, in order to stop being so fearful and to have healthy relationships with others. When I came to ACA, when I joined ACA, I was finding it very difficult to forgive my parents. I was still attracted to very toxic relationships within the romantic sphere as well as friendships. And I was scared all the time. So the Big Red Book led me on a journey to ACCA. It was like a game of finding Wally. And I wanted it so desperately, I could not get a copy of it anywhere. I searched for it on the internet, I could not find it. And I was directed to AAC, which is Al-Anon Adult Child Group. But unfortunately, I found that they did not use the Big Red Book, and they did not refer to the Big Red Book in AAC. And something told me that I still had not found my home, because what I saw in that red book, even before I came to ACCA, gave me a starting point for my healing. By just being aware of the problem and being aware of a solution, I started being aware of myself, my attitude in my work environment, my attitude towards my family, my attitude towards my friends, you know, and gave me a place to work off from. So Finally, during our first our level 5 of lockdown, I found Marion's contact details on the ACCA website. I was in contact with her, and I joined the Zoom meetings, which had been started at the time. And there's 2 Zoom meetings in South Africa on a Monday and a Thursday. And for the first couple of months, I did not miss a meeting. I knew, my heart, my inner child knew that that was home. It makes me so emotional because living an unrecovered life as an adult child is so painful. And immediately I saw growth within myself. I offered myself up for service to the group and started organizing the meetings and assembling the service teams. I took that over from Marion. I could see that, you know, she was mainly running the meetings on her own. And I learned a long time ago that by being of service, you know, I get plugged in to my recovery. By participating, I become a part of. So that was basically my first step of getting out of isolation. It was the best gift I'd ever received, because lockdown for me did not mean dread and horrible isolation. I was connected to my ACCA group, and which means I could start my healing. It was almost like a rehab of sort in my mind. I also, during last year, I found that it was important to try and carry the message to other people of color. And I don't think it was a mistake that in the same year I was elected as the chairperson of the Soweto group of AA, which is the largest AA group in South Africa, because it put me in a position where I could be of influence. When I came into ACCA, I was the only Black person in the group. And now there's about 7 to 10 of us within the group. I referred most of the guys in the group to a very helpful servant of ACCA, John O, as a sponsor. They were looking for sponsorship, and they started their own small group, which meets every Sunday. And for me, it's so important to know that the Black men in my community are finding healing through this kind of program. In South Africa, unfortunately, we experience a high level of gender-based violence, which I can become a victim of and have been a victim of. And this is why I say that none of us are free until we are all free. I cannot recover alone. If my fellow brothers do not recover, then I'm still in danger. And so it's so important for me to carry the message to my community. At that time, I discussed with Marion about making a proposal for a scholarship, a literature scholarship fund for South Africa. My community is known as a previously disadvantaged community. It is not previously disadvantaged. It is still disadvantaged. We are a traumatized nation. A very angry nation. Most of our men find themselves on the other laundry list, and the women find themselves on, you know, the first laundry list. And abuse has been normalized. The biggest obstacle for me in carrying the message to Soweto is that denial is a huge and difficult obstacle to get through. Abuse and physical abuse has been normalized within my community. Even I took 10 years of therapy to understand that the way I was brought up was not normal. It was very dysfunctional. But because the Big Red Book awakened me to this disease, I think that is important. For my biggest dream would be to get a Big Red Book into every single home. But unfortunately, literature has been very expensive for us. I don't know what the currency, I mean, what the exchange rate is like in other currencies, but it's about 300 rands, a red book in South Africa, and a lot of people can't even afford bread. So with Marion's help, I submitted proposal 11 for the annual business conference of ACCA, and I was told last week that this proposal was not only adopted, but it has been implemented, and that people can contribute towards the South African Scholarship Fund, the Israel Scholarship Fund, the India Scholarship Fund. It means such a great deal for us because you can contribute to my healing, to other people's healing, to the safety of our children in this community. By just clicking on a button, there's a website that has been set up where you can just click on a button and contribute to our healing. My community does not believe in therapy. We cannot afford therapy. We cannot afford to seek help for mental illness. And just spreading the message in this way will save a lot of lives. I'm thankful and I'm blessed to be part of ACCA. And I hope that many who are just like me will find their way home. This is home for me. Thank you so much to the global community that has encouraged us, that has supported us, and that has made so much possible. Marion knows that when I collected my big red book from her, finally, it was like I'd collected gold. It is gold. Because today I'm healing, and I'm healing from the hurt, and I can help others. Thank you so much for ACCA and for everyone's service and support to South Africa. I shall hand over back to Marion.
Thank you so much, Kanelwe. And now we're going to move to India, and we're going to start with Sunil, if you'd be kind enough. Sunil shared last year, and a lot has changed in India as well. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Marion. Good evening.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's evening in India at 6:15. Thank you all for being here. I heard a young lady read out the 14 traits of the laundry list in an Alcoholics Anonymous convention 6 years ago. And when she read the fourth trait, which says, we either became alcoholics, married them or both, or found a compulsive personality to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. I felt shockwaves going through. And I felt that in those 30 seconds, everything wrong that I did in the last 20 years or 25 years just sort of became clear to me. And the weight of listening to the laundry list traits, the burden and the guilt and the shame that I had accumulated from childhood lifted from my shoulders. And for the first time since I first drank into, you know, maybe 50 years ago, I sobered up in 2004. And for the first time in my recovery from drinking after 11 years, because I was still very restless, irritable, and discontented, I was depressed. Bill W., the founder of AA, was very depressed 22 years into sobriety. Because we did not have emotional sobriety. I did not have emotional sobriety. And I was blocking myself. And the lessons were in ACA. ACA completed my upstream journey back into life from alcoholism to childhood. And it is in my childhood that I found all the answers, or I'm finding all the answers, like I find today, every day, to trauma, which was the main reason for my shame, for my abandonment, for my guilt, for my people-pleasing behavior, approval-seeking behavior, addiction to excitement, addiction to abandonment. You know, not only did I become an alcoholic, I married a compulsive personality. And I mean, the forest fire raged through my life for more than 30 years, and then it calmed down. And it is the silence and the understanding of the silence and the meaning God sends to you when you look at the trail of destruction that I left behind, that my life changed. And the key thing I got from ACA was willingness. Willingness and the understanding of the 12 steps, which are the same in all the 12-step fellowships, also changed, also moved in a very beautiful way. I re-understood step one, powerlessness versus helplessness. I had never understood that I could be powerless, but I may need not be helpless in any situation because higher power is always there. And for the first time, I understood what is unmanageability. It was my need for rigid control to change people, places, things, or situations, or my own thoughts and feelings. And I'm powerless over my thoughts and feelings as well, which is why I drank in the first place, because it was only the alcohol that made me so unconscious that I managed to actually stop feeling my feelings, which was so negative. I lived the life of a victim, emotional needs not met, control, dissociation, perfectionism, everything. For the first time in my life after coming into Adult Children of Alcoholics, I learned that it was okay. I learned to accept myself. Here in this fellowship, they said, "We will love you till you learn to love yourself." Oh my God. Nobody had ever said those words to me. I was very low on self-love. I was full of self-blame, guilt, shame, abandonment, etc. And I drank to drown my sorrows without realizing that sorrow knows how to swim. So, you know, the series of rock bottoms and then surrender is what saved me and pulled me out of my triangle of self-obsession, where my yesterday was full of resentment, today was full of anger, and tomorrow was full of fear. I had nowhere to run. I was running from myself. And then I ran into ACA and they took me in and my life changed. When I joined ACA in Delhi 6 years ago, there was one small Sunday evening meeting where 6 or 7 youngsters, God bless their souls for starting this, started this about 10 years ago. And nothing much was happening except for these Sunday evening meetings. There were no workshops, there were no step studies, there was no big red book readings. There was no ready, set, go. There was nothing. And together as a team, we started from scratch. It was purely God's will that I encountered Sue V, who's here with us today, the chair of the global committee, at that time global subcommittee. And I got involved more at the level of global and WSO into service work. And that further saved my soul, you know. I can't be grateful enough for that. And from there, a new spring, like a river, a new spring of hope and love was born in New Delhi, which flowed into various parts of India. Today, we have 106 members who joined online in the last 1 year. We've had two Ready, Set, Go workshops, one in January, one in March. Since July last year, we have been doing the Big Red Book study, and now we are on chapter 16. We are going to start the Yellow Book step studies once a week as soon as the convention is over. So there is so much happening. The board of WSO, to whom I'm very grateful, gave us practically a donation of 25 big red books and 25 yellow step workbooks, which our members couldn't afford, because we would have had the same problem as South Africa, import them, pay massive amounts of customs duty, et cetera, et cetera. It would have been completely unaffordable. We are now working with Sue and the team of international literature distribution to find reliable printers in India. Thank you again, WSO board. I just want to say that the most beautiful thing that has happened to me personally and to our fellowship in India are the saplings of young people who are stepping into service. You know, a forest only grows when not just one tree flourishes or just a few trees flourish, but there are hundreds of saplings. So after last year's convention, in which I participated, service became more popular. And after the RSG workshop, so many young people have come into service that I am overwhelmed. I'm so grateful to God. And I'm trying my best to empower them in every way, because they are going to carry the message further into the depths and the breadths of the country, into the backwaters, into the little towns. You know, I'm 68. I will carry the baton as long as I can with the help of Sue and others. But now I'm also looking after other countries, which is a huge benefit to me, a wonderful experience. Well, you know, this is where I would like to end. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Sunil. And now I'd like to hear from one of those younger members in India. Please, Pooja, would you share with us your story? And then we'll be following that with Kanika's story. So Pooja, over to you.
Good evening, everyone. And big namaste from India. And I'm really a grateful ACA member and very overwhelmed with all the previous speakers share. I came into the rooms in August 2019 after I heard an ACA member, you know, share in another 12-step program. I identified with each word and I could finally understand why I was still not happy, joyous, and free. I was so overwhelmed. It was like I always felt like the alcoholic myself, you know, or the dysfunctional person myself, which I wasn't at that point. I questioned my own thought process and my hypervigilance. It was after practicing another 12-step program for 8 years, you know, where I seen that the focus was always outwards, you know, and I was trying to find faults in someone else. It is only in the ACA rooms when I came here that I identified with the laundry list trait 4, which says we end up either becoming alcoholics or marrying them or both, which is exactly what I did. I married and recovering, you know, alcoholic and addict. So I married, my husband abused substance and alcohol. My mother-in-law is a functional alcoholic. And my father-in-law would abuse pills. So I dived in from one dysfunctional home to another. It was ACA that helped me to accept that I am a certain way because of the emotional abandonment issues that I faced as a child, which I didn't even know, honestly, that existed. I come from a so-called perfectly normal and respectable family of Delhi. I never saw my dad fall. I never saw him carelessly drinking. I never saw him slurring. But I did see a lot of alcohol in my house. I did see rage. I did see dysfunction in my upbringing. Dad was never available, never for school functions, never for parent-teacher interactions. I remember him asking me while introducing us in social parties, what class do you study in? He loved socializing and networking, you know. And today when I look back, I'm like, wow, I was his firstborn child and he actually didn't even know or remember which grade I went to. I remember my grandfather being my father figure, you know, helping me with my school essays, my debates, poems, which, you know, and also dropping to the bus stop sometimes, which fathers used to do. And I think that's where the emotional neglect started really occurring. With three siblings, and I discovered I became the second mom to them, especially to my youngest brother, till I joined ACA. My sister felt a complex towards me all her life. And now I identify why, because each child was differently treated. She probably grew up with more criticism than I did. And criticism still exists in our home. My brother ran away from home as a child, a small child, because he got low grades in school. And he didn't want to face our father because he was so scared of the level of fear or rage that he might have to go through. We did end up finding him at a railway station. Even then, we didn't understand that how messed up the family was. My mom was the go-to parent. She was like my goddess, you know. She was the fixer, the one who took care of everything. We hid absolutely everything from our father with the fear that what if he gets angry? You know, I hated being by myself. I always wanted people around. I wanted friends. I wanted plans. I wanted agendas. You know, I just never wanted to be alone. I saw a lot of abusive language, heated fights, and sometimes even plates of food being thrown around in the house. But that was normal because no one ever said it was wrong. There were no boundaries whatsoever. Dad got away with disrespecting mom, and it continues till today. So I became the rescuer, you know. I was so possessive and defensive about my mother. If anybody said a word about her in the family, I would blow up. And till today, I'm ready to tear them apart. It's changing with ACA. I'm trying not to be the rescuer anymore. And I also pledged when I got married to never be that victim, you know, to never let my husband or my in-laws walk over me. I guess, you know, that comes with that fear of authority figures now identified. So looking back on, I see how much shame, abandonment, and fear came into my life and remains in the form of trauma even today. I became this hero child who's responsible for everyone, the girl who could take care of absolutely everything, good at school, good at home, good at organizing parties. What I didn't realize was that the security, you know, that I was looking for outside, you know, kept making me focus on the outside. You know, I didn't want to dig deep. I wanted someone to just protect me and say, you know what, I've got you, you know, make me feel secure. I got into a serious relationship as early as at the age of 13, and I stayed in it till 23. He later became a drug addict. I still didn't leave him because of the abandonment issues that I faced, which I did not realize then. I ended up breaking up with him because he cheated on me. But then I found my next fix, another recovering addict. It was a fairy tale courtship, which lasted only a few months because as soon as we got married, all my dreams and hopes kept, you know, came down like a castle breaking down on our honeymoon when my husband relapsed. He found sobriety later and we had a child together, and it was the most beautiful 5 years phase of my life, you know. I was cared for, taken care of, you know, he was a caring husband, adoring father. But dysfunction continued in both my in-laws and in my family of origin. My denial kept pushing it under the carpet. My husband's relapse occurred when my son was just three and a half. It was that time I was almost suicidal. It made me question my existence. My son is almost 8 today. Luckily, I found ACA. The alcoholic in my life has hardly been a part of me and my son's life in the last few years. He's just in and out of rehabs. In fact, back from one today as we talk. It's ACA where I began taking baby steps to being self-caring and recognizing that this little girl exists and understanding she's lonely, she's scared, and she's fear. She's so much fear, especially in such uncertain times where humanity is in danger and where the pandemic in Delhi is crippling us, you know. It's inner child, that healing that helped me to grow and make boundaries. I felt so resentful towards my father. You know, we came from a fairly wealthy background. I grew up feeling money was always a problem because that's how he projected it. I felt ashamed asking for pocket money when I turned 16. I had so much financial insecurity that I sold costume jewelry and I held silver jewelry exhibitions so I could afford taking that little amount of some every week from my father and ease his burden. I felt I was easing his burden. And as I write this today, I feel like, what would that 17-year-old be feeling? I'm not boasting, but when I grew up, I realized my father is a multi-billionaire, you know? And I felt I'm easing his burden. ACA helped me to speak to him and share a few of my fears. It helped me to reach out to him. When I left my alcoholic's home 2 years ago, he couldn't help me arrange funds I needed for a home. I resented him. I resented him so much that I did not speak to him till I started working my steps in ACA. And then I realized, you know, he suffers too from dysfunction, and I'm learning to forgive him one day at a time. You know, it was impossible for me to ask for help. It was like, how could Pooja ask anyone for help, especially when it came to finances? I felt I'll do it alone, whether it meant staying without a maid, a driver, furniture. At 26, I left my in-laws' home. I did not call my father for help. I remember selling jewelry though, but I didn't call up my father. 10 years later today, things are different. My insecurities, I share. I talk about it when I need help. Amazingly, today I support my father in his family business, which seemed impossible for this lifetime. My family still continues to battle dysfunction. My sister chose a toxic partner after multiple failed relationships, and she's battling a very early divorce in her marriage. My brother is an alcoholic in denial. He suffers from depression and financial insecurity. My mom continues to be the fixer. My father's still self-righteous, critical, no matter what. But ACA helps me to accept each of them by drawing boundaries to not accept unacceptable behavior anymore. I would also like to share here that a few of us started this Inner Child Noida group, which I feel has been the best thing that happened to me in the last few years. It has beautifully evolved. Initial service seemed really tough because I was battling a new home, a small child, and lots of insecurity. But service helped me imbibe the ACA program. I have seen India grow and come a long way from that one meeting in Frank Anthony where I went to. I was the only girl there, you know, between a lot of men. That first time I went to, and I was hoping that another meeting starts, and it did. I feel so grateful for Sunil for being that one person who shared at that speaker meeting where I felt I was home. And that's when I reached out to him for ACA. Today, I am still flawed. I have a long way to go. But these meetings and this experience, strength, and hope from all of you around the world makes me feel I will get over all my fears one day at a time. I definitely look forward to going deeper into this program of ACA, getting more involved with service with the Global Members Committee, so that this beautiful program can reach to many more homes and to many more adult children in India and around the world. If it wasn't for these meetings, a broken, anxious, insecure, fearful adult child like me wouldn't have survived the last 14 months alone with another small child that I have. It's always, every single day, been hopeful, attending shares and helping me do the next right thing. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for listening so patiently. With that, I pass to Marian. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pooja. Kanika, would you care to share now, please?
Thank you so much, Marian. Hi, I'm Kanika, an adult child. So grateful for this opportunity. I can't thank everyone who shared. And I feel that this is a privilege that I have this opportunity to share and be part of the service. I was born in Delhi, and the family was dysfunctional. My father is an alcoholic. He continues to be, he still is an alcoholic. And while I was actually trying to figure out my life, I figured that I was part of another program. And I joined that program and I found some sanity there. I found that, okay, there is some there is a place where I can actually relate to. There is a place where there are people with whom I can relate to, and I'm not alone. And that was the first time I felt that, okay, I'm not alone in this place. And it, you know, I found this 2 years back, and I've been part of that program ever since. But I never felt like home even in that program. I learned a lot of things in that program, but at the same time, I felt that there is still, you know, I still feel anxious so often. I still feel insecure so often. I get in those, you know, every other day I used to cry for something or the other, and I had no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I was not able to work on myself. So I understood that alcoholism is a disease, and, you know, he is suffering from his own reasons, and I have to treat him like a alcoholic as it is a disease. But thinking for others, it was easy, but for myself, it was so difficult. And I have always been like very critical of myself. So at my home, I have 2 younger siblings, and I became the hero child. And this identity was so strong, and it still is. I continue to work on it. It's so strong that it became my whole identity. And in ACA, I realized that there is something, you know, there is a term called hero child. And I couldn't, you know, thank my God more for ACA, because thank enough for ACA, because it's a place that actually makes me feel like home. It's a place where I feel connected to so many different people from different backgrounds. And I still feel that they all get me without even me explaining it to them. And over here, you know, when outside ACA, I've tried so many times and I've failed. And I don't think people get it because they've not gone through a similar situation. And I stopped telling outside. I became so reserved that I never shared outside my own, you know, I used to share only with my siblings or whatever, but hardly used to help. But in ACA, I found hope, I found recovery. And I see, so it's been 1 year, almost 1 year since I've been in ACA. And I feel that I'm a completely changed person, because it has become a way of life for me now. Every problem that I, face, I feel that, okay, I have 3-4 tools that I have to go to. Either I have to call my sponsor, or I have to read from the Big Red Book, or have to, reach out to other fellow travelers, and I will find a solution. And I've been finding solutions to these problems that I earlier used to feel are completely unmanageable. And I had no idea if there is any way or solution to these problems. But slowly and steadily, I have been trying to work on myself one day at a time. And I've seen so much recovery in so many different spheres of my life. First and foremost, I have become so accepting of myself, and the idea of powerlessness is so liberating, because earlier I only used to blame myself for each and everything, that why I'm like this, why I behave like this, or I used to become a victim and I used to blame others. But here the laundry list traits, they speak so much to me, because I feel that I relate with each and every trait. And now slowly and steadily, I've started to work on each and every of these traits, and I've found so much recovery. So I always saw myself as a victim, but I'm so proud of myself that, you know, a day before yesterday only, I was trying to figure out whether what trait still is in me. You know, I was trying to do a spot check, and I figured that I have not been a victim in a while. You know, I have not put myself in a victim pity pot, or I have not blamed others, because I've started taking responsibility for myself, which is really great to see, because I was never like that. I always put the blame on outside, or I was always critical of myself, and AC has completely changed that for me. And I have been doing a little bit of service here and there. But whenever I do it, I see that there is so much more recovery that I get whenever I do anything to you know, in the service sphere. I would like to talk about the serenity prayer, you know, in particular. So before I came to ACA, before I came to the other program as well, I somehow found a serenity prayer on some social media. And I completely connected with it. And, you know, even before coming to the program, I had been saying the serenity prayer, and I connected with the serenity prayer. So with even before, you know, coming to the program, and it got so much ingrained in me that now whenever I have to pray, it's the serenity prayer that I say. There is no other prayer that I know anymore. It's just the serenity prayer. Even when I'm, you know, sleeping and I'm having a nightmare, it's the serenity prayer that I say. So it has actually held me strong, and I have seen the magic of serenity prayer. I see it every day in my life, and I feel that how quickly it changes, you know, with different situations. Whenever I say serenity prayer, I see that in that particular situation, some word actually works. So sometimes it serenity works for me, sometimes it's courage that works for me, or somewhere, or sometimes it's wisdom, but it generally works. And the tools of the ACA, having a sponsor, and the phone call, the literature, and these tools have, I think they have become my major support system. And I feel that I am back, you know, there is something, someone holding me, and, you know, there are people that I can always go to, which was never the case, because I was the only one taking care of everybody. And now I feel that there are people to back me up. So I think in the last 1 year, I've taken different decisions for myself. So recently I left my, you know, one and a half month back, I left my alcoholic home. And I never thought that I could actually do that, because that was the most difficult, leaving everybody. And the codependent behavior was so strong in me and in everyone else. But I made that decision, and I left the place for my own recovery. And I feel that I would have never done that if I was not in ACA. And I have seen so much recovery in myself in terms of sharing, in terms of reaching out, in terms of looking at different, just a second, please. Sorry. Sorry, just give me a second. I need to, yeah.
Are you okay, Kanika?
Sorry. Okay. So someone came, my dog came in the room, and he started disturbing. Sorry. So, so I was talking about the tools. So the tools have been really helpful for me. Apart from that, I feel that before ACA, I was just surviving. But I feel that now I am actually thriving, and I'm really living my life. I learned how to have fun in the little bit of things. I learned how to ground myself whenever I'm getting triggered, and write things down whenever there is a trigger, and try to resolve it. And I have overcame so many fears that I had. The fear of authority figure was so strong in me. I would make anyone my authority figure, and that would be, it could be anybody. It could be my sister, it could be my boss, it could be a friend, it could be anyone. And I feel that now I have become so conscious of all of these traits that the patterns still come, but at the same time, I acknowledge it, and I'm more conscious about them, and I'm able to work upon them. So I feel in recovery, I feel so sane. Some days are good and some days are not so good still. But at the same time, I feel that being in recovery makes me feel so much better. I hit one ACA rock bottom recently, sometime in January. And I didn't know what to do at that point in time. And I felt that ACA is so difficult. You know, ACA is not easy for me. And I was really, really thinking about leaving the program because I couldn't handle it. Because I'd never gone so deep in my own recovery. I'd never gone in my childhood and felt what happened there and everything. And later, then I realized that because I went through all of that and I was still continued to participate in ACA and, you know, reach out to my fellow travelers and sponsor. It helped me come from where, you know, it helped me in the last 1 year from where I was and where I am right now. And service definitely helps in every way whenever I, so first of all, I would like to close now. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm so, so, so grateful to be sharing my journey and my strength and hope with everybody. Thank you, Miriam, for this opportunity. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you indeed, Kanika. And thank you for the whole India team for showing up, especially our younger members. And now I'd like to call on Dahlia to close the speaker portion of the session before we open for questions. Dahlia, over to you.
Thank you so much. My name is Dahlia. I'm an adult child from Israel. Thank you, everybody. I'm just so empowered and amazed from all your shares. So yeah, but I'll do mine anyway. Thank you so much. So and this is my emotional sobriety helper, Halt S. That reminds me to replace getting too hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and serious with hugs, acceptance, love, tenderness, and silliness. So I have that. I have him with me to remind me that. Very helpful. I recommend. So I come from a dysfunctional family with alcoholic, rageaholic, violent, workaholic, abandoning, Auschwitz death camp and death marches, the Holocaust survivor father, and a narcissist, food addict, shopaholic, persecution refugee, codependent mother. So lots to qualify me as an adult child, not knowing, of course, that that was what I was and am. I just thought everything was horrible and the things were horrible and I survived and that's it. That's what I thought before ACA. After being in other 12 steps programs for about 12 years, I eventually came across the ACA program about 3.5 years ago, and everything started to fall into place. It wasn't and isn't an easy ride, but this program is literally transforming me from survivor to a thriver, 1 minute at a time, if and as much as I work it, as suggested in the Big Red Book and other ACA literature and guidelines. A big part of my recovery right from the beginning was service. This message of recovery is so powerful for me that I'm driven to help make it available to as many as possible other suffering adult children. But not only that, as I developed my relationship with my inner child or true self, I realized that she loves to share and be helpful and meaningful in a positive and joyful way, and that this is actually a need for her that was abused and distorted by growing in a dysfunctional family, and later by me being an active adult child joining in the abuse. On our next panel in this room, Shelley, our country sponsorship coordinator, will share about the history of ACA recovery in Israel that started about 3.5 years ago. And she will present also our recovery support needs. Here, I would like to share with you my experience, strength, and hope in being part of our emerging service structure and country-level fellowship building involving challenges, solutions, and blessings. After last year's AWC, and in response to our call for help to create an intergroup, we received a lot of support from experienced and generous members from the Northeast region of the United States that met with us virtually, shared their experience, as well as gave us guidance and support. We elected an intergroup chair and started meetings, but since we were all from different groups and didn't know each other or have a group spirit, this eventually didn't hold. So what we did next is, after recovering from that and the whole process of not taking the blame and it's okay to try and all that, it wasn't, of course, right away, but so we did. What we did next, instead of going first into electing members for various intergroup roles, we started what we called a steering committee of a few members that wanted to eventually develop an intergroup. This took the pressure out of the meeting, our kind of steering committee, we decided to call it meeting, and we were able to just discuss our needs and plans and ideas and dreams, and indeed build that group spirit that was missing before actually electing people for the various roles. That approach proved fruitful, and eventually from that emerged our intergroup that by now is well functioning, meeting bi-monthly, and roles are and committees are being staffed rapidly. As to membership, we now have about 350 members in our mailing list and two WhatsApp groups. We needed to create another one since WhatsApp has a maximum limit of 250 members. So we now publish all the information twice in the two groups. We have 15 meetings and growing. On February 2021, we had our first country level event with more than 100 participants, and the ACAWSO chair as the keynote speaker, as well as local speaker shares and a workshop. Another country event is planned for June 16th, and we are looking for speakers. So if you are willing to share your experience, strength, and hope with our local fellowship, please let us know. I'll put the contact information in the chat after I finish. Time will be around noon Eastern time, and a translator will be provided from English, of course. We also have a website that accumulated more than 21,000 entries in 2 years. And we are working on translating and eventually publishing ACA literature in Hebrew. And more on that was shared on the literature translation panel that if you couldn't attend, it is available also as a recording. I'll just mention here that having ACA literature available to members in Hebrew was what made this whole growth possible. Without the literature in Hebrew, there would be no growing ACA recovery in Israel. We finished the translation of the daily meditation book, Strengthening My Recovery. We also have a member reading the daily meditation every day out loud and posting it as a daily podcast it's a daily podcast followed by a share on the reading. So for up to 20 minutes reading the daily meditation and giving the share. That proves to be very helpful to members to hear the text in their own language, as well as having a member share about it. This is done anonymously, you know what I mean, with clear separation between the text and the share to keep to the traditions. Since June 2020, this podcast had 3,215 plays on the main podcast platform, so probably even more. We also finished translating almost 90% of the Big Red Book, and the 12 Steps Yellow Workbook is also being currently translated. All this growth wasn't without challenges. as much as giving service and witnessing the growth were and are huge blessings and gifts of recovery, they also presented some great opportunities for personal growth that weren't and aren't pleasant. Nobody will be surprised that adult children tend to act out in social settings, and doing service exposes one as started to such acting out. What saves me and make all such experiences means for recovery is coming back again and again to my ACA program and remember who I serve, my higher power, my present, and even more, my future fellow travelers and my inner child or true self, as I was originally meant to be, and I am revealing and reviving through this program. And what saves us as groups is, in addition to that, coming back to our 12 traditions, as well as getting help from experienced members, be it via the members' service committee that we all belong to and blessed by, or other experienced members that are always happy to help and support us. This connection with ACA at large is another essential component in our growth. Please let us know if you are moved to support us or any other country, as well as global members committee in, I'm going to finish now, in general, in any capacity. To sum up, I am happy to share ACA is alive and kicking in Israel, well established by now and growing exponentially. Local service to ACA will grow as recovery grows, and all challenges will be opportunities to get even stronger. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dahlia. Like many, we've been challenged as always for time. There never feels like there's enough time to say everything that we need to say. And I'm sure that there will be the usual problem of needing to rush through this. I would like to ask our tech host just to share the third last slide, because it has been referred to a few times here. So if you can find your way to it, it's the Seventh Tradition Literature Scholarship Fund. If you can scroll through till that, I will come back to the last piece to close. Keep one more page, please. One more page, yeah, that page. We have mentioned this a couple of times, so I just wanted to give people who are interested the opportunity, if you're wanting to make a donation to that International Literature Scholarship Fund, you will find this wonderful new facility on the Seventh Tradition page, and there's a drop down that allows you to do this. Please feel free, because as you can hear, carrying the message in these countries involves the greatest challenges, the literature. A lot of people cannot get onto online meetings and so forth. So that is the one way, if you're moved to help, that really can make a change. I'm wondering what our options are in terms of time. If my tech hosts can tell me, that would be great. We are officially out of time, but I would like to be able to take some questions before we finally close. And I'm not sure the best solution. Should we go through the closing first and then take questions until the next crowd? Or, some guidance would really be appreciated here.
It says, Marian, I would suggest let's go for the closing. The fun activity starts in eight minutes.
So let's do the closing then. So if you can scroll back three slides for me, please. Sorry to my techists. I think that's the slide. So volunteering service in ACA is a recovery tool, as you've heard, that strengthens our program. You can help carry the message and make a difference in another ACA member's life by signing up as a volunteer. To serve in global, please look at the links here, and I'm hoping that our tech host will pop it into the chat as well. And you can always send an email to globalmembers@adultchildren.org. And if you're called to serve in other areas, because we're not the only committee in WSO, believe me, there are all sorts of places where you can help. So again, you can go to the World Service ACA, sorry, acawso.org service website location and follow those prompts. Next slide, please. And then that seventh tradition, which says that every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. So we do ask that you consider making a seventh tradition donation, and you can do it as the link shows you here, adultchildren.org, seventh tradition. And you can find now a much upgraded option where we are thrilled to let you know that new functionality and more options has been added recently. Thank you, Brad and the team. So you can donate now in your local currency. You can use all sorts of new ways. And if you can just scroll past that last slide. Right. So again, a reminder that there is now this fabulous International Literature Scholarship Fund, and that's the tool to help a specific country with a specific problem. So if your service is simply helping to support distribution of literature, as you can hear, it's one of my passions, this is how you can do it, and you can literally localize it. So next slide, please. I've asked Karen to please read the promises. Take it away, Karen.
Hi, Karen Edelchild, The Promises. One, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. Two, our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. Three, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. Four, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. Five, as we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. Six, we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Seven, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. Eight, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. Nine, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. 10, fears of failures and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. 11, with help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. 12, gradually, with our higher power's help, we learn to expect the best and get it. Thanks for the opportunity to serve.
Slide, please. Right. Please check the ACA.org website, ACAWSO.org website for information about the recording for this session. Then I want to just remind you that in Lavender Room, there's a session on from healing to helping. So, in other words, in this room and in the Green Room after this session at the top of the hour. Charlie and Robin are doing relationships in recovery, but you can always go back to the schedule, which is on that convention marker. I would like to just answer the one question that was put into the chat about going to meetings. I believe that there is now a way to find meetings more effectively. I'm not sure if it's been released yet, but if not, you can always look on the website and find meetings. And I think the old system of meetings was that you had to find the face-to-face meetings and then find the connection point. It is definitely on the ACA website. Otherwise, Karen, if you can put the contact details in the chat so that the person asking for meetings can find them. I'm going to ask that we do the formal closing and then we'll handle questions as much as we can until the happiness crew arrives. So can we do the last and the next slide, please? Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who shared from their heart on this panel today, as well as those who came to the session and who interacted with us. I would also like to thank our tech hosts, who do such a sterling job behind the scenes and whose service helped to make this whole convention happen and come together. Sunil, would you please say the serenity prayer in your language?
Thank you. Taking a deep breath. He Ishwar, mujhe
और
ये समझने की सद्बुद्धि दो कि वह मैं ही हूँ. थैंक यू.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I am going to open it to questions for as long as we can. Karen? Please just use your... Sorry, Sue.
No worries at all. Adelina just wants to introduce the fun person. We're going to go a little later on the fun. We're going to go at 9:40, well, Eastern time, 9:45. So that'll be in 5 minutes. So Adelina, do you want to do what you need to do? And then Marian will take some questions until the fun starts. Go right ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I for this 10-minute session during the break, I would not call it fun as much as it is a soothing, true self drumming meditation with Jace. And I'm connecting with her right now to let her know that we would like her to start at 9:45 our time.
Thank you so much, Adelina.
We'll let you know when she's ready. Thank you.
Fabulous. Bless you for that. Okay. Let me try and see if I can manage this.
What's a fun activity yet?
You're getting it. Okay. Marian, okay. Marius is there, and you can ask your tech host to unmute Marius.
Okay, thank you. Please, if you would, Marius in Romania, please could you unmute him? Yes, Marius, how can we answer your question or comment?
First question is, hi, I'm Marius, I'm an adult child from Romania. I'm chair of in Bucharest, the ACA group. First question is, how can we attract literature scholarship funds, having in mind that Romania is an ex-communist country, which is not getting well with salaries and so on. And getting the Big Red Book in Romania imported from US takes a lot of funds, which go somewhere around $100, which is not easy money for our members. And the second question is, how do you tackle to overtake the obstacle of translations, because in my opinion translation in our country where English is not our people are not fluent in English, they need to feed. Thank you.
I'm awake.
It's done.
Marius, sorry, let me try and answer half the question and then I'm going to ask Dahlia to answer the other one. That literature scholarship fund is available for each country. If you have an intergroup or there is something you can do about it, so it doesn't just apply to us. That facility is available, but I would suggest if you're not certain, reach out to World Service for more details. You can use any of the websites. And in the meantime, as regards translation, can I rather ask Dahlia to deal with that question?
And just before that, Marian, I can add to that, Marius, I'm the new chair of the publishing committee, and Frederick from the European committee is on that committee. We're looking at all of this right now. So I would guide you to go to Frederick and talk to him. And and we'll move forward on the literature piece, and I'll stop talking for Dahlia to do translations. Thank you.
Well, I was just chatting, answering on the chat. So can you just quickly repeat the question? Sorry.
How do you overtake the obstacle of translations? Because it's a huge obstacle to spread the word in English for Romanians, and I imagine that the same thing is for Israeli who doesn't speak fluent English. So how did you do it with translations?
Yeah, so what we did is we took it slowly with recovery, just translating for each meeting, what we wanted to read on that meeting, then every day, the daily meditation. It's been 3.5 years, so just this recovery.
Thank you.
If you can still hear me, I'm not sure.
Yes, we do. Sure.
Yeah, okay, because that's so slowly and carefully. And the thing that moved it forward is that it was needed for recovery, to read it in the meeting, to read the daily meditation every day. So that was, otherwise it's just, you know, to have the translation and it's some far away goal, it wasn't strong enough. So that's how it worked for us here in Israel. And I'd love to speak with you more about that. So I put my email on the chat and I'll put it again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dalia. May I contact you on Slack?
Yes, please. It's Dalia B, justice here.
Okay, I know.
Thank you, Mario. Sure. Talk to you soon.
Right. It doesn't look like we have any other hands raised right now, but if there is somebody who does want to ask a question, please go ahead and raise your hand. I'm not seeing any. Oh, okay. Catherine Yu, can she be unmuted, please?
Hi, everybody. Wonderful meeting. Really inspiring stories. I'm from the U.S. I live in Georgia. And I was wondering about a digital format. Does ACA, I'm fairly new to ACA. I've never done service work at the world level. And I just wondered if that was a possibility to have a digital format that could bypass some of those problems.
I'm going to field that question because it's one very close to my heart. The truth is that many of the people in India and South Africa can't afford the digital format. They don't have access to data. Many of them aren't even computer literate, or they don't have access to computers. It's a real challenge because the hard copy, the old fashioned hard copy, is the real way to carry the message to areas where internet's just not that available. So, yeah. It is available in digital format, the Big Red Book, and I believe the Yellow Workbook. I can leave that to Sue to answer more, but our challenge is that many, many people in these poorer countries actually need physical literature. Sue, do you want to add?
Thank you. We're just doing some changes around behind the scenes. You guys don't know about Techie. I'm going to answer very quickly because we're out of time. And so I'm going to put my email in the chat. And digital, we are looking at. It's not an all or nothing. So there's some areas in the country. There's some countries that digital does not work. There are some countries that digital does work. So we're looking at it all, and we're looking at Amazon. We're just looking at our whole business model right now. So if that calls your heart, if anyone has some expertise in those areas or has a heart in that, please contact me, and we'll go on this adventure together. We've already come a long way. So with that, I'm going to stop because I know we're running out of time, and I know there's a really great thing. I apologize for Dina, but if you could put your question in the chat, I'm sure that the panelists will answer it for the next minute or so while this starts. And once again, all of the panelists, thank you, thank you, thank you.